these centers become activated, it in turn activates hormones, tissues, chemicals, and cellular functions, and it emits energy. For example, when your first center, the seat of your reproductive glands, is activated with energy, its mind has a very specific agenda and intention. When you as a conscious being have a thought or a fantasy, that's consciousness, by the way, acting on neurological tissue. The next thing you know, your body is physiologically changing, and therefore so is your energy. Your body secretes chemicals and hormones from those corresponding glands to emotionally prepare you for intercourse. You have more energy in that center now, and it's releasing its own specific frequency carrying an intentional message. That energy carrying the conscious intention is activating that reproductive center, and the mind in the brain is influencing the mind in the body at the level of its individual nerve plexus. This mind, located in that specific area of the body, through this mini-brain, operates on the subconscious level through the autonomic nervous system. It's beyond your conscious control. We could say that the body is now following the mind as the mini-brain in that energy center activates the related glands, which in turn activate corresponding hormones that signal the appropriate chemicals to change the body's emotional state and physiology. And then you are emitting a very clear energy carrying a specific directive out of that center. We have all felt that kind of energy from a very sexual person. Once the energy is moving through that neurological tissue or plexus of neurons, it creates mind at that level. So when it's activated, that center has a mind of its own. The second center also has its own mind. And when we activate its mini brain, and thus its mind, we trust our gut. And the same sequence of events happens in this center as we just saw in the first energy center, but with different corresponding neurocircuitry, hormones, chemicals, emotions, energy, and information. In fact, this area has been called the second brain because of the hundreds of millions of neurons and neural connections here, more than exist in either the spinal cord or in the peripheral nervous system. In fact, 95% of the feel-good hormone serotonin in your body is found not in your brain, but in your bowels. So trusting our gut literally means trusting our instincts. It's almost as if our body and this center's brain can override our analytical, rational thinking brain and mind. How about your heart center? What happens when you lead with your heart? Like the first two centers, this fourth center, located in the middle of the chest, has its own frequency, its own hormones, its own chemicals, its own emotions, and its own mini brain that draws from a field of energy and information that surrounds it. And when you lead with your heart, you tend to be more caring, kind, inspired, selfless, compassionate, giving, grateful, trusting, and patient. When this mini brain gets that information, it sends instructions and messages to the organs and tissues that are located in that part of the body, and you emit loving energy from this specific center of information. Now let's look at each of these energy centers in more detail. Some of the centers will overlap a bit in function, but for the most part, if you know even just a little about the body, they are pretty self-explanatory. You can review figure 4.3 again if you need to. Getting better acquainted with the energy centers. The first energy center governs the region of your sex organs, including your perineum, your pelvic floor, the glands that are connected to your vagina or penis, your prostate if you're a man, your bladder, your lower bowel, and your anus. This energy center has to do with reproduction and procreation, elimination, sexuality, and sexual identity. The hormones estrogen and progesterone in women and testosterone in men are correlated with this center. This energy center is also associated with the inferior mesenteric nerve plexus. A tremendous amount of creative energy exists in this first center. Think about the amount of energy used to make life and create a baby. When this center is in balance, your creative energy flows easily, and you are also grounded in your sexual identity. The second energy center is behind and slightly below your navel. It governs the ovaries, uterus, colon, pancreas, and lower back. It has to do with consumption, digestion, elimination, and the breaking down of food into energy, including digestive enzymes and juices, as well as the enzymes and hormones that balance your blood sugar levels. This center is also connected to the superior mesenteric nerve plexus. This energy center is also related to social networks and structures, relationships, support systems, family, cultures, and interpersonal relationships. Think about it as the center for holding on or letting go, consuming or eliminating. When this center is in balance, you feel safe and secure both in your environment and in the world. The third energy center is located in the pit of your gut. It governs the stomach, small intestine, spleen, liver, gallbladder, adrenal glands, and kidneys. The associated hormones include adrenaline and cortisol, the kidney hormones, and chemicals like renin and angiotensin, erythropoietin, and all the liver enzymes, as well as the stomach enzymes like pepsin, trypsin, chymotrypsin, and hydrochloric acid. This energy center is also related to the solar plexus, which is also called the celiac plexus. This center is associated with our will, power, self-importance, control, drive, aggression, and dominance. It is the center of competitive action and of personal power, self-esteem, and directed intention. When the third center is in balance, you use your will and your drive to overcome your environment and the conditions in your life. Unlike the second center, this center becomes naturally activated when you perceive that your environment is not safe or is unpredictable, so you must protect and take care of your tribe and yourself. The third center is also active when you want something and you need to use your body to get it. The fourth energy center is located in the space behind your breastbone. It governs the heart, lungs, and thymus gland, the body's main immunity gland known as the fountain of youth. The hormones associated with this center include growth hormone and oxytocin, as well as a cascade of 1,400 different chemicals that stimulate the immune system's health via the thymus gland, responsible for growth, repair, and regeneration of the body. The nerve plexus this center governs is the heart plexus. The first three centers are all about survival and reflect our animal nature or our humanity. But in this fourth energy center, we are moving from being selfish to being selfless. This center is associated with the emotions of love and caring, nurturing, compassion, gratitude, thankfulness, appreciation, kindness, inspiration, selflessness, wholeness, and trust. It is where our divinity originates. It is the seat of the soul. When the fourth center is in balance, we care about others and we want to work in cooperation for the greatest good of the community. We feel a genuine love for life. We feel whole and we are satisfied with who we are. The fifth energy center is located in the center of your throat. It governs the thyroid, parathyroid, the salivary glands, and the tissues of the neck. The hormones associated with this center include the thyroid hormones T3 and T4, thyroxine, the parathyroid chemicals that govern the body's metabolism and circulating calcium levels. The nerve plexus this center governs is the thyroid plexus. This center is associated with expressing the love you felt in the fourth center, as well as speaking your truth and personally empowering your reality through language and sound. When the fifth center is balanced, you voice your present truth, which includes expressing your love. You feel so pleased with yourself and with life that you just have to share your thoughts and feelings. The sixth energy center is located in the space between the back of your throat and the back of your head. If that's too complicated to picture, just think of it as the center of your brain slightly toward the back of your head. It governs the pineal gland, which is a sacred gland. Some people call the pineal the third eye, but I call it the first eye. It's associated with the door to higher dimensions and shifting your perception so you can see beyond the veil or see reality in a non-linear way. When this center is opened, it's like a radio antenna you can use to tune into higher frequencies beyond the five senses. This is where the alchemist in you awakens. I devote a whole chapter to the pineal gland later in the book, but for now, know that the pineal gland secretes hormones like serotonin and melatonin, as well as some other wonderful metabolites, which are responsible for your circadian rhythms of feeling awake in response to visible light during the day, and sleepy in response to being in darkness at night. In fact, the pineal gland is sensitive to all electromagnetic frequencies beside visible light, and can produce corresponding chemical derivatives of melatonin that change your view of reality. When this gland is in balance, your brain works in a clear manner. You are lucid, more conscious of both your inner world and your outer world, seeing and perceiving more each day. The seventh energy center is located in the center of your head and includes the pituitary gland. This gland has been called the master gland because it governs and creates harmony in a downward cascade from the center of your brain to your pineal gland, your thyroid gland, your thymus gland, your adrenal glands, your pancreatic gland, and all the way to your sexual glands. This is the center of the body where you experience your greatest expression of divinity. This is where your divinity, your highest level of consciousness, originates. When this gland is in balance, you are in harmony with all things. The eighth energy center is located about 16 inches, 40 centimeters above the head, so it is the only energy center that is not associated with an area of the physical body. The Egyptians called it the Ka. It represents your connection to the cosmos, to the universe, to the whole. When this center becomes activated, you feel worthy to receive, and that opens you up to insights, epiphanies, deep understandings, and creative downloads of frequency and information that come into your physical body and brain not from memories stored in your nervous system, but from the cosmos, the universe, the unified field, or whatever you want to call that power that is greater than our individual selves. We access the data and memory of the quantum field through this center. Evolving our energy. Now that I have described each of these energy centers in detail, let's take a more dynamic look at how they can work. Certainly, our bodies are designed to use energy in each of the centers, as I have outlined. But what happens when we do more with our energy than just survive? What happens when instead of releasing all our energy outward, to procreate, to digest food, to run from danger, and so on, we begin to consistently evolve some of that energy upward from one center to the next, increasing its frequency as it ascends? Here's what that would look like. We start out by channeling our creative energy from the first center. When we feel safe and secure enough to create, that creative energy evolves, ascending and flowing into the second center. When we have to master some limitation or overcome some condition in our environment, we're able to put the creative energy to good use, and then it will flow to the third center, the seat of our will and power. When we successfully transcend the adversity in our life, which has challenged us to grow and overcome, we have the opportunity to feel more whole, more free, and more satisfied, and we're then able to feel genuine love for self and others as the energy flows through and activates the fourth center. When that happens, we then want to express our present truth, what we've learned or the love or wholeness we feel, and that allows the energy to then move through and turn on our fifth center. After this, when the evolution of energy activates the sixth center, dormant areas of the brain open so that the veil of illusion is lifted and we perceive a broader spectrum of reality than we ever saw before. We then begin to feel enlightened, the body moves more into harmony and balance, and our external environment, including the natural world surrounding us, also moves into more harmony and balance as the energy ascends in activating the seventh center. Once we feel that enlightened energy, we begin to truly feel worthy, and the energy can finally rise to activate the eighth center, where we receive the fruits of our efforts, visions, dreams, insights, manifestations, and knowingness that come not from anywhere within our minds and bodies as memories, but from a greater power in and around us. This continuous flow of evolving energy from our first center to our eighth center is illustrated in Figure 4.4a. That's the kind of personal evolution that happens when the energy flows consistently, the ideal. What all too often happens, however, is that the events of our lives and the way we react to them cause our energy to get stuck so that it doesn't flow in this magnificent pattern I just outlined. The places in your body where the energy gets stuck are the energy centers associated with the issues you're dealing with. Figure 4.4b depicts what happens when the energy gets stuck and can't flow to the higher centers. If, for example, a person has been sexually abused or has been conditioned since childhood to think that sex is bad, their energy can stay stuck in the first center, the center associated with sexuality, and they may have problems accessing creativity. If, on the other hand, a person can access their creative energy but doesn't necessarily feel safe enough to use their creativity in the world, instead feeling victimized by their social and interpersonal relationships, or if they have been traumatized or betrayed by another person, they might hold on to that energy in their second center. Such a person would be likely to feel excessive amounts of guilt, shame, suffering, low self-esteem, or fear. Now, if a person can get their energy flowing up to the third center, but they have ego issues and they feel self-important, self-absorbed, controlling, domineering, angry, overly competitive, and bitter, then their energy gets stuck in the third center, and they may have control issues or motivation issues. If a person cannot open their heart and feel love and trust, or if they are afraid to express love or how they truthfully feel, energy can also become frozen in the fourth and fifth centers, respectively. While energy can get stuck in any of the energy centers, these first three centers are where it tends to get stuck most often. And when it's stuck, it can't evolve and flow in the seamless current described earlier, which switches on the higher energy centers where we're in love with life and want to give back. Getting that circuit flowing the way it was designed to do is the whole point of doing the Blessing of the Energy Centers meditation. We bless each of these centers so we can get stuck energy flowing again. Drawing from our energy field. As we discussed earlier, our bodies are surrounded by invisible fields of electromagnetic energy that are always carrying a conscious intention or directive. When we activate each of the body's seven energy centers, we could say that we are expressing energy out of these centers. Simply put, when we as conscious beings activate a specific energy in each individual center, we stimulate the associated neurological plexuses to produce a level of mind that then activates the proper glands, tissues, hormones, and chemicals in each center. Once each unique center is turned on, the body emits energy carrying specific information or intention from it. However, if we keep living in survival and we are overly sexual, over-consuming or overstressed by living our lives from the first three centers, we keep drawing from this invisible field of energy carrying information that surrounds the body, and we are consistently turning it into chemistry. The repetition of this process over time causes the field around the body to shrink. See figure 4.5. As a result, we diminish our light, and there is no energy that carries a conscious intention moving through these centers to create the correlated mind in each. Essentially, we've tapped our own energy field as a resource. That limited level of mind with its limited amount of energy in each center will send a limited signal to the surrounding cells, tissues, organs, and systems of the body. The result can produce a weakened signal and a lower frequency of energy carrying vital information to the body. Therefore, the lowering frequency of the signals creates disease. We could say that from an energetic level, all disease is a lowering of frequency and an incoherent message. Remember how I said that the lower three energy centers of the body are concerned with survival, so they represent our selfish nature? They're about using power, aggression, force, or competition so we can survive the conditions in our environment long enough to consume food, to nourish ourselves, and then procreate and keep the species going, as opposed to the upper five centers, which represent our selfless nature and are concerned with more altruistic thoughts and emotions. Nature has made these lower three centers very pleasurable so that we keep engaging the actions related to them and what they represent. Having sex, first center, and eating, second center, are quite enjoyable, as is connecting and communicating with others, also the second center. Personal power, third center, can be intoxicating, including the success of overcoming obstacles, getting what we want, competing against others and winning, surviving in a particular environment, and pushing ourselves to move our bodies around. You can see then why some people may tend to overutilize one or more of their first three centers, and in so doing, consume more of the field of vital energy and information surrounding the body. For example, an overly sexual person draws extra energy from the field of energy surrounding their first center. A person trapped in shame or guilt who feels victimized, holds on to the emotions of the past and constantly suffers, is consuming excess energy from the energy field surrounding their second center, and so holds on to energy in that center. An overly controlling or stressed person pulls additional energy from the field surrounding their third center. When our consciousness is not evolving, neither is our energy. The subatomic level. All of this starts at the subatomic or quantum level. So let's discuss how that happens. Take a look at figure 4.6. If you take two atoms, each with its own nucleus, and you put them together to form a molecule, the overlapping of the two circles where they bond is where they're sharing light and information. And because they're sharing information, they're sharing a similar energy that has a particular frequency. What's holding those two atoms together as a molecule is an invisible field of energy. Once these atoms join to form a molecule and exchange information, they will have different physical properties and characteristics, such as a different density, a different boiling point, and a different atomic weight, to name a few, than when they were sitting side by side separated. It's important to note that what is giving the molecule its specific properties, as well as holding it into form and structure, into matter, is the invisible field of energy that is surrounding matter. Molecules could not bond without sharing information and energy. If you add another atom, you form yet another different molecule that again has different physical properties and characteristics, and a different atomic structure. And if you keep adding more and more atoms, you form a chemical, and there's an invisible field of energy around that chemical that's holding it together in physical form, giving life to that chemical. Those atomic forces are real and measurable. If you take enough chemicals and you put them together, you're going to ultimately form a cell, and the cell also has an invisible field of energy surrounding it and giving life to the cell. The cell is actually feeding off different frequencies of light. It's not molecules and positive or negative charges that are instructing the cell to do what it does. According to the new field of biology called quantum information biology, it's the biophotons we discussed earlier and their patterns of light and frequency that the cell emits and receives that gives the instructions. The healthier the cell, the more coherent the biophotons it emits. If you remember from what you learned so far, coherence is an orderly expression of frequency. The exchange of information via electromagnetic frequencies of light between the cell and this field of energy surrounding it happens faster than the speed of light, which means it happens on the quantum level. To continue, if you put a group of cells together, you form a tissue, and that tissue has an invisible field of unifying coherent frequency and energy that causes all those individual cells to work together in harmony, functioning as a community. If you take that tissue and further develop it into a more specialized function, you form an organ, and an organ also has an invisible field of electromagnetic energy. That organ literally receives information from this invisible energy field, In fact, the memory of the organ actually exists in the field. The way this can affect transplant patients is fascinating. Probably the most famous example is the story of Claire Sylvia, who wrote a book called A Change of Heart about her experiences after receiving a heart and lung transplant in 1988. All she knew at the time was that her new organs came from an 18-year-old male donor who had died in a motorcycle accident. After the transplant, the 47-year-old professional dancer and choreographer developed cravings for chicken nuggets, French fries, beer, green peppers, and Snickers bars, none of which were foods she had enjoyed before. Her personality also changed. She became more assertive, more confident. Her teenaged daughter even teased her about developing a man's gait. When Sylvia eventually tracked down the family of her donor, she discovered the foods she had craved after the transplant were indeed the young man's favorites. That vital information was stored in the light field of the organ. The most dramatic story illustrating this involves an 8-year-old girl who, after receiving a heart transplant from a 10-year-old girl, began having vivid nightmares about being murdered. The donor had indeed been murdered, and the perpetrator had not been caught. The patient's mother took her to a psychiatrist who was convinced that the girl was dreaming about events that had actually occurred. They contacted the police, who opened an investigation using the girl's detailed account of the murder, including information on the time and place of the crime, the weapon, the physical characteristics of the criminal, and the clothing the murderer was wearing. The killer was identified, arrested, and convicted. So in these cases, that information in the energy field surrounding the transplanted organ changed the expression of the energy field of the individual once the person had a transplant. It's different light and different information mixing with the transplant patient's pre-existing field. The recipient can pick up on that information as memory in the field, and it influences their mind and their body. The energy, holding specific information, is influencing matter. Then when you group organs together, you form a system, such as the musculoskeletal, cardiovascular, digestive, reproductive, endocrine, lymphatic, nervous, and immune systems, to name a few. These systems function by drawing information from the invisible field of energy and consciousness that surrounds them. And when you put all the systems together, you form a body that also has an invisible field of electromagnetic energy surrounding it. And that vital electromagnetic field of light is who we really are. Now back to the hormones of stress. As I mentioned earlier, when you're in survival mode and you're drawing too much from this invisible field of energy to turn it into chemistry in your physical body, whether you're oversexed, overeating, overstressed, or all at once, this energetic field around your body diminishes. That means there's not enough energy or light surrounding the body to give the proper instructions to matter for homeostasis, growth, and repair. When that occurs, these individual centers no longer receive, process, or express energy, and they no longer produce a healthy neurological mind to send the necessary signals to the associated parts of the body where these centers innervate. Since that energy with a conscious intent moving through or activating neurological tissue creates mind, the energy centers diminish in the expression of the minds to regulate the cells, tissues, organs, and systems of the body because there's no energy moving through them. The body begins to function more like a piece of matter without the proper coherent energy of light and information. Those mini-brains become incoherent, just as our brain becomes incoherent. In addition, when the brain is incoherent and compartmentalized because of the hormones of stress, that incoherent brain then sends a very incoherent message, like static on a radio, down the central nervous system to each of the plexuses of neurons that have to do with communicating with the body. And when these mini-brains receive incoherent messages, then they send an incoherent message through the organs, tissues, and cells in each area of the body that's related to each one of these centers. This in turn affects the hormonal expression and nerve conductivity going to different organs and tissues and cells in the body. And this incoherence begins to create disease or imbalance. The result is that when these individual brains become incoherent, each corresponding area of the body becomes incoherent. And when they don't work well, we don't work well. Increasing energy. In the Blessing of the Energy Centers meditation, when you learn how to rest your attention in each of these centers and become aware of the space around them, you create coherence in each of these little brains in the same manner as you create coherence in the big brain between your ears. And as you acknowledge the particle, matter, by resting your attention in your perineum for the first center, or in the space behind your belly button for the second center, or in the pit of your gut for the third center, or in the center of your chest for the fourth center, and so on, you're anchoring your attention in that center. And where you place your attention is where you place your energy. Then you'll move to placing your attention in or opening your focus to the space around each of those centers, tuning in to the energy beyond that center. And as you do this, it's vitally important that you move into a state of elevated emotion, such as love or gratitude or joy. As you know from previous chapters, this is important because the elevated emotion is energy, and the longer you can hold that open focus from a state of elevated emotion, the more you will build a very coherent field with a very high frequency around that center in your body. Once you build that coherent field around a center, that center has a coherent energy with the right instructions to draw from. The atoms, molecules, and chemicals that form the cells that create the tissues that make up the organs and the systems of the body will be drawing from a new field of light and information, and a more coherent energy, carrying a more intentional message, giving new instructions to each center of the body. The body will then begin to respond to a new mind. As you surrender and move into the present moment, and you understand that where you place your attention is where you are placing your energy, you can build a new field of light and information and raise the frequency of the signal. And that intentional thought directs energy through each center to produce a new mind in that individual brain. As each center draws from a new field of frequency and information, the body moves back toward balance or homeostasis. And in this new state, you become more energy and less matter, more wave and less particle. The more elevated the emotion, the more energy you create, and the more dramatic a shift can result. If, on the other hand, you stay stuck in the survival emotions of worry, fear, anxiety, frustration, anger, distrust, and so on, you don't have this energy, this information, and this light around your body. As the frequency, light, and energy slow down and become more incoherent in each center, you become more matter and less energy until your body begins to become diseased. That's the point of doing this meditation, to speed up the frequency so it entrains the lower, disorganized frequency back into coherence and orderliness, raising the frequency of matter or entraining matter to a new, more coherent mind. But remember, you can't muscle this. You can't just will it or force it to happen. You can't do it by trying. You can't do it by hoping, and you can't do it by wishing, because you can't do it with your conscious mind. You have to get into your subconscious mind, because that's where the operating system is, the autonomic nervous system that functions and controls all these centers. You have to get out of your beta brainwave pattern, because beta keeps you in your conscious mind, separated from your subconscious or your autonomic nervous system that actually runs the show. The deeper you go in meditation, from beta brainwaves to alpha brainwaves, and then even to theta brainwaves, the half-awake, half-asleep state of deeper meditation, the slower your frequency and the more access you have to the operating system. So in the Blessing of the Energy Centers meditation, your job is to slow your brainwaves down and combine an elevated emotion with an intent to bless each energy center for the greatest good, loving them into life, and then surrender and allow your autonomic nervous system to take over, because it already knows how to do that without any help from your conscious mind. You're not thinking, you're not visualizing, and you're not analyzing. You're doing something that may at first seem much more difficult. You're planting a seed of information and letting go, allowing it to take the instructions and energy and use them to create more balance and order in your body. We've actually measured how effectively our students can use this meditation to both increase the energy in each of their energy centers and achieve balance among the centers. To do this, we use the gas discharge visualization device that you read about in a previous chapter to take measurements of participants' energy fields both before and after they do the Blessing of the Energy Centers meditation. The GDV technology uses a specialized camera to take images of a subject's finger, while a weak and totally painless electrical current is applied to the fingertip for less than a millisecond. The body responds to the current by discharging an electron cloud made up of photons. While the discharge is not visible to the naked eye, the GDV device's camera can capture it and translate it into a digital computer file. Then a software program called BioWell uses the data to create an image like the one you see in graphic 4 in the color insert. Graphics 4A to 4D show how balanced or imbalanced the subject's energy centers are, both before and after meditation. The BioWell software uses the same GDV data to estimate the frequency of each energy center and compare it to the norm. Balanced energy centers would appear in perfect alignment, while imbalanced centers would make an off-center pattern. The size of the circle, representing each energy center, shows whether its energy center is less than, equal to, or greater than average, and by how much. The left side of each example in graphic 4 shows the measurements of the subject's energy centers taken before we started our workshop, while the right side shows the measurements taken a few days later. Now look at graphics 5A to 5D. The left side of this figure shows the measurements of the energy field around each student's entire body before we started the event, while the right side shows the measurement of the field around the whole body afterward. We have also used the GDV device to measure how this meditation, as well as any of the other meditations in this book, enhances the energy field surrounding the entire body. As you'll soon read in the instructions at the beginning of the meditation, I repeatedly ask you to place your attention not only on various parts of your body, but also on the space around those parts of your body, and then, at the end of the meditation, on the space around your entire body. As you have learned, where you place your attention is where you place your energy. So if you are putting your focus on this space, that's naturally where your energy is going to go. In doing this, you're using your attention, awareness, and energy to build and enhance the field of light and information surrounding your body. This, in turn, creates order and syntropy instead of disorder and entropy.